We'll hear a little bit about each way the pianos are on exhibit, and there is a logic to their exhibition in here, even with the ephemera and the building materials. Is everybody in? Welcome to the Piano Performance Museum. You are in one of the jewels of the Catskill Mountain Foundation, a climate-controlled, sound-controlled, humidity-controlled, museum-quality exhibition space for musical instruments of the rarest quality. We work regularly with the great museum collections of the world, yes, believe it or not, from Little Hunter, New York, with support of the Greene County Council on the Arts, not only reaching the local constituency, but we do world, people from around the world regularly visit here. We have three new initiatives beginning this summer in education, ranging from the little tykes in the local schools. We produce now a month-long residency in the summer school program in Wyndham and Hunter Tannersville schools, as well as we welcome students from the Beijing International Piano Academy. They come to visit the United States. They will be here in July. We begin a new program with the Juilliard School and the Manhattan School of Music and the Curtis Institute, where students come and learn about society and culture, music and perspective, in relation, studying from what is known as the center of the musical world, the piano. First of all, why Hunter is often the question. Why here? Well, actually, it comes from the instrument themselves. After the piano's zenith at the beginning of the 18th century, at the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century, it became the fastest rising star of any home around the world. Even some of the old geezers who visit here remember people had a piano before they had indoor plumbing. It shows you how important it was. By the middle of the 19th century, say by 1840 to 1860, the wood was over-harvested in Northern Europe. Forests were bare. So the piano builders were looking around the world to go somewhere that had wood. Hence, they came to the Catskill Mountains. And I can show you specific examples on instruments, both American-made and European-made, that utilized the wood right here near Hunter, between the two rivers, as they were called, the Delaware Valley and the Hudson Valley. This was considered the Garden of Eden, they referred to it in the period. What we have amassed, and I'd like to introduce Stephen Greenstein, who is our resident curator here. He's the former president of the American Piano Technicians Guild. He is a very respected collector and is, just a demagogue of the piano and has a love for it and amassed a collection that I encourage you to speak with him during the evening about this. We don't want to take up a lot of time. You are here tonight really we're here to whet your appetite, as I said, in the lobby, is to develop programs. And as you start to see, as I tell you a little bit about things, your gears will turn in your thought process and in your own programs about what we might help produce together. What you're looking at, as I said, is one of the world's great collections of instruments. It happens by accident. It happens by love and dedication of Mr. Greenstein. It happens to be with the recognition of the Doctorow Family Foundation and Peter and Sarah Finn of the Catskill Mountain Foundation as part of taking the Catskill Mountain Foundation in a new designation as a multi-arts center. We're even coined the phrase of the Lincoln Center of the Mountaintop. Developing programs in music, art, dance, and theater, and extensive education programs that have worldwide attention. That's the new mission statement. After a 10-year planning period in capital projects such as this center, the Orpheum Theater, the Red Barn Dance Center, the Maplewood property, as well as in gardening and nature and eco-arts awareness, you'll find all kinds of programs are going to be interlinked together. It all seemed to stem from, as I said before, that old rickety piano collection that people had, but suddenly we've discovered that what had been considered a fluke is quickly turned into international recognition as an important collection and a museum collection. What you have on display on the left and right sides of the room are representative examples from a large collection known as the Stephen E. Greenstein Collection of playable pianos from any given in time, ranging from the piano's inception in the middle of the 18th century. On exhibit in the front is a Stein replica copy. There's an original in storage. This one is used for a performance in the front. This is exactly what Mozart played. And then taking it through the complete development at the other end of the room, one of the new treasures in the back is one of the large 9-foot concert grands belonging to Liberace. So we go from Mozart to Liberace. What you'll find, though, is that we often say is that you're expecting diamond-studded sterling silver pianos. Actually, this was one of the playing pianos of Liberace because, yes, he was a showman, but he was a very serious artist and a dedicated pianist. This is one of the serious instruments, so it's the inside and the guts that really sound. But to take you through quickly, and we urge you to look around. We ask you not to play, not to touch. I will not be playing tonight because of the bad weather. The tuning was not able to be accomplished. The tuner was not able to arrive. But we'll do some representative examples. As I said, and please come in now and start to look around. We have representative examples from the beginning of the piano's inception in the 18th century with Mozart, or say this John Broadwood piano is exactly the model that Beethoven owned. Now, so what you're saying and seeing is that, okay, different pianos. We have third grade classes who come here and we talk about diversity. Pianos come from different times and places. They have different sounds, they have different colors, they have different looks, and they have different music that is appropriate for them. Some few prizes in the collection, because I know we're going in to the auditorium, is it in the front. You'll find 1813 is a square grand by Muzio Clementi. This would have been considered at the beginning of the 19th century. In the 18th century, would have been in every fashionable room in London or New York or Boston. Muzio Clementi's most famous pianist of that time period actually was going to be brought to America to be a piano dealer. Anybody who has read Sense and Sensibility, yes, I'll shake this. Look where she gets sent the little piano. And if you get out your Sense and Sensibility, if you want to come look in the front, and she says, look, mother, it has the little flowers painted above the keyboard. This is one of the finest examples still extant because it still has the decorative painting in original condition. And you can see why it says, look, mother, it has the little delicate flowers painted above the keyboard. We do programs in Jane Austen. And the Austin family were major music supporters from the beginning of the 19th century, and hence there are extensive collections of the Austin family in music. Similar to the activities in music that were with Candace Wheeler through Twilight Park, and also with the Pratt family, and the Pratt Family Museum, there's extensive relationships with music going all the way back to the founding of America. Not only, so here, sitting side by side with an instrument made in London, they actually, as I said, ran out of wood, and so they began to make instruments in America. This is by Babcock. Mr. Greenstein, date on this Babcock? 1823. This was most likely made with wood from the Catskills, as you will see. And what do you look at when we say wood? We often ignore this. These legs would have been a centerpiece of walnut, one block. You can't get this anymore. And so this is what they were able to have with the carving as we go around. So it shows what the decorative styles were. These pianos were going to be manufactured in this region using wood from the Catskills and then exported back to London to begin that sort of trade coming from America. On the other side of the room, because we're going very, very quickly, and I strongly encourage you to come back, as you can tell, we're enthusiastic about it. You're among the first to see it, and this is why it's closed up. This instrument is by Geib, G-E-I-B, of New York. This would have been high style, a high style home, probably, say like the Merchant's House Museum on the Lower East Side in Manhattan, or in Boston houses. It is by Geib. It is 1824, made of rosewood and walnut, and this is a hand-carved stand with a matching chair carved by Duncan Fife. And what is particular, if you'd like to come around, what's so important about this instrument is that, as we all know from family collections and art collections that you administer, is that it probably sat closed up after maybe grandmother died and it just stayed closed up in a house, perhaps covered with a piano shawl. We also have, Mr. Greenstein has amassed a collection of 19th century piano shawls, which what you did is you covered the wood. We don't not so consider it now. You would have covered the instrument with a shawl so the sun would not bleach the wood in the 19th century and to keep the dust off of it. Well, thank goodness, because if you'd like to come around and see, this instrument is so important because it retains all the original gold leaf, all the original gold leaf from the period. It's one of the most important one of the most important instruments and one of the only surviving by Guy that's known today, and particularly because it retains its stand. Now, for those in wood and management, that it's often thought that in the collections in the Metropolitan Museum and in the houses of New York is that Duncan Fife mostly carved all of this and the wood stayed dark. But actually, this instrument is important because you will see that it did have gold leaf bands on it. And so this instrument itself changed the entire perception on what was Duncan Fife furniture. If you'd like to see what it was like in the period, since it was played by young ladies, it contains the original covering for the strings, which is papier-mâché and painted with gold leaf. We're tempting you with it because, as you'll see in the concert programs for the year, you will see a regular listing, a concert calendar, where we use all of these different instruments in concerts and educational and in museum and science programs. So we do everything with them. Quickly, as we walk through a little bit, every American president had a piano in the White House, except for a couple of them recently, as we know, had no regard for the arts, unfortunately. But we're fortunate in recent times that our political leaders have said that the arts are important. This was the piano made after the inauguration of Abraham Lincoln, because he and Mary Todd Lincoln, she was known to be a very fine singer. And so they were known to sit at the parlor and sing parlor songs. In the period, the two styles would have been, in America, would have used this kind of piano for parlor songs, as well as the Mendelssohn family in Germany, or in Wien in Austria, would have used an instrument like this, or they would have used an upright piano. This is an instrument over in this corner by Broadwood. Would have been used, it's a very rare example. That is what it would have been in every fashionable town home, which didn't have the room for a big instrument, so they went up the wall as it goes. Quickly, as we go, and we'll get to what's on the wall later, 1864, in New York, particularly the Steinway brothers arrive, and they feel that they have a heyday because of the wood of the Catskills, and you will see the massive legs on what is known as the Civil War Steinway. Steinway and company said they were going to make a fortune because they were going to export this model piano to the antebellum South, which was designed to be in these big Gothic Revival houses. Greek Revival houses. These instruments didn't make it through because America went to war, and so many of them were destroyed. As far as we can tell, there are 5 of them left in the world. This is the only one playable. Wow. We here at the museum will go down the other side in a second. As you can tell, the mechanism of the piano, we're very interested in what it looks like, but actually we work in the science and the physics of how the instrument works, using mathematical equations, teaching Pythagorean theorem, teaching physics of sound, teaching the physics of the sound of the ear and how the human beings and cognitive thinking works. We work regularly with the major piano building companies. We've just recently announced a partnership, an ongoing partnership with Steinway & Sons International for educational pursuits with the history of the piano, and we are now labeled an educational all-Steinway Institute, and 15 new Steinways will be arriving for our new piano practice facility on the middle of June.
Wow.
Using for children of the area working with the local elementary school. So we work in the building as well, and what you'll see, and quickly as you'll walk through, is that what's amazing about the Greenstein collection is because of him being a maintenance and tuning and a connoisseur of this, he amassed the tools, because there was no such thing in the period as a piano. If you got a piano, you had to learn to work on it yourself. So when you got your piano, you had to have the toolkit to go with it. And yes, it does have individual ratchets that fit every screw and go. Here at the Piano Museum, I'm just trying to hurry because they're rushing me on. Here at the piano, particularly, as you can tell, the American tradition, which we never think about. the American tradition was just as equally important as the European tradition of piano building, particularly because of the wood of the Catskills. If you don't have any wood, you don't have any pianos. If you don't have any good wood, you certainly don't have pianos. We at the Piano Museum, because we dedicated to the American tradition, studying it alongside the great traditions, particularly who are the most persnickety people about what kind of pianos they play, are the American jazz masters. The Gershwins hated Steinway. They would not touch one. The great American pianist Roland Hanna, who we honored last year, this is his private piano, his rehearsal piano, which was made by Boardman and Gray in Albany. This was considered one of the most important pianos, piano makers of the 19th century. They made all of the pianos for the Barnum and Bailey Circus. Now, we don't remember that the circus, which came through the Catskills, not only brought circus acts, the bearded lady and the clowns, it also brought high art and high music to underprivileged, unexposed communities. So they took the Boardman and Gray pianos. Boardman and Gray, very important piano builder, using all wood from the Catskills. Sommer is the first. The next one, as you'll see, American piano maker made in Queens, as they had the large factories importing wood coming up and down the rivers. This is the first model for short stringing, making a grand piano able to, because of cross stringing in the example, it's a whole physics study unto itself. At the end, as I was saying, that the jazzers were very picky about what pianos they would play. At the end here is an instrument of end of the 19th century, made by Bechstein. This was the exact piano that Cole Porter used. It has the most beautiful suite for singing with, and we use this for song recitals most of the time. Behind here is the Baldwin 9-foot concert grand, belonging to Liberace. Yes, it is signed. As you can see on the inside of it, as you walk by, there's some lights on it. It's in the process of being conserved. There's going to be one of our major concert instruments here in Weisberg Hall. Coming to the left of this instrument, this is by Erard, Franz Liszt, and Frederick Chopin played this exact model piano. It's with its original stringing, and it's characteristic of the way that those pianos in the early, say from 1825 until 1860 were played. You would say, what's different about them? Each piano is different, each composer is different. And so establishing the Piano Performance Museum as a major center for studying piano and music, that pianists from all over the world of all ages can come and try out different kinds of music on different pianos. Next to this is a Broadwood instrument, which would have been characteristic of any time, say, from 1840 until 1860. This was the exact model that was as a gift given to Frederick Chopin. For anybody who's a pianist in the room, the famous etudes, the big concert pieces by Chopin, were written for this specific piano. You'll see it only has two pedals, a sustain and an una corda. This is original, and this is slated for stringing. If we had more time, I'd let Mr. Greenstein explain an example of restoration. I know we're on our way to go. So as not only what we're doing in music and museum, is that the intent is to establish restoration, piano restoration, furniture restoration, and science center to train young people. We're about within 2 years to open a training center because, believe it or not, a piano tuner is scarce. There are maybe three in a 4-hour radius of New York City. So to try to train a new generation of youngsters of how to maintain this. This in front of it, as I explained, this was a Broadwood earlier, which was a short 7-foot grand. This was exactly a model that was a gift to Beethoven, and he played this one of his most favorite pianos. It is in original condition. It is completely restored by Mr. Greenstein's studio, including the cleaning of each string. This is all original strings, how is that different? Because they had no steel then. This was all soft iron wire. So it creates a very different sound. Each string was cleaned by hand, and it's one of the finest examples in the world that's still extant. Against the wall, you'll find examples of the upright tradition, which in the period were considered just as equal as a concert grand. They were just as admired, including the first, which is a very important instrument, is that Frédéric Chopin, in his famous longtime love affair with the writer George Sand, she was his patron as well, is that he came from a very poor family, and he never had a piano. And all he ever had was this instrument in the front. And when he had tuberculosis and was exported to the island of Mallorca, he had lived a very comfort life with the wealthy George Sand. She was very wealthy, but they were not allowed to take the concert grand pianos. He had to take the little piano from his youth, which he died at a piano very similar to this. So as you can see, we are very excited about the new ventures that we have here. Museum quality, art, music, theater, science, and restoration, and we invite you to come back, please, soon. Welcome to the Piano Performance Museum. Thank you. Thank you. And the jewel of our town is the acoustically splendid Evelyn Weisberg Concert Hall, which is adjacent. We go through the back, through here, all of these pianos go into the little concert hall, which is an acoustically splendid hall, as you see, for all music here on the mountaintop. So I invite you to go into the concert hall. Thank you.